Good evening. Welcome to the 12 Man Podcast, the halfway stage of a roller coaster season so far. A very exciting week to talk about this week. Two big wins, a few injuries. That's just in the away end on Saturday. We'll talk about everything in between. It's been a really good week. I have lots of smiley faces, and it's been reflected on all the smiley faces looking at me as we speak now. Got me, Steve Jackson. I'm in the main chair as usual. I was trying to guide you through and keeping this lot in some sort of order. I've got Mr. John Donovan. He's with me as usual. Evening, JD.
Now then, you okay?
Doing good, mate. You?
Yeah, brilliant.
Good. Got Mr. John Cutler. He's always with me as usual. My side partner. Evening, Cuts.
All right, lads. How are we doing?
Doing good, mate. Doing good. And, that's how I go for all the guests at the moment. We've got our third favourite, Geordie. I think he's third favourite now, isn't he? Got Mr. Steve Dixon. He's with us. Evening, Steve.
Good evening, fellas. You all right?
Yeah, we're doing good, mate. We're doing good. I don't know where to go next. We've got Mr. Jacob Jervis. He's with us as usual. Evening, Jacob.
Evening, lads.
Good to see you as usual. I don't know, you're two main guests now. The celebrity who was at the front of every away end, I seem to be a part of, and he was giving it big licks again on Saturday. We've got Yusuf again with us this week. Evening, Yusuf.
Evening, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good, mate. Are you?
Yeah, I'm really, really good, thank you.
Good. And always a pleasure to give us his expert guidance through the first part of the season, I suppose, split into two. From the Evening Gazette, we've got Mr. Craig Johns with us. Evening, Craig.
Now then, lads, I'm not sure about the expert part, but now then.
Well, you do it for a living, mate. We don't, so you're more of an expert than we are. How are you doing, all right?
Yes, good. Thanks, mate. Hope you all are too.
Yeah, we're all good. So we're going to talk about... I'll go through Blackpool, because I think Blackpool needs a mention. That was a great... What I thought was our best performance of the season. Then we'll talk about Norwich, which topped that by how many million percent you want to go above it. And then we'll talk about the first part of the season. You know, we started with Wilder, we've ended with Carrick. We've had all sorts in between. Problems in, you know, with management, the players, fans unrest. And we've ended with a bit of peace. It's been nice. It was lovely to have a nice, harmonious away end on Saturday to think it was our 4-week break. So, yeah, it's been a... Been an eventful few months so far, so we'll go through
Steve,
all that.
Steve,
yes.
Can I interrupt? There'll be no peace in the North Stand if you don't introduce Dally.
Is Dally still shit?
I tell you what, right? Flashbacks of being at school, being the only ginger kid, last pick. Don't worry about it. It's all right.
Well, to be fair, I was about to bring him in as my first bit of comment. To be honest.
Oh, don't try and put me up now.
No, that's it then. How are you doing, Dally? All right.
I'm sorry, 5 minutes ago and you forgot me.
Oh, yeah,
soundboys.
I can't fit you all in. I blame the screen. But how can I forget him? He was on the bus on Saturday. Hey, but yeah. Right, as you can see, full house. So there's a lot of people to talk to. But I'm going to start with you, Dally, because Tuesday night, obviously, first performance we're going to talk about is Blackpool. You know, I had a lot to live up to after last season. You know, Watmore's, you know, late winner, three quarters of the way and getting COVID and giving us another extra week off after Christmas. But it was a really positive start of the week, wasn't it? That 3-0 win at Bloomfield Road.
Yeah, definitely. Some of the football we played was brilliant. Really, you know, we played Bristol City. It was walked away quite frustrated, but really positive, and it just seemed to carry on, you know, the positive football, the attacking football. To be fair, at the same time, I don't think Blackpool were up to much, but you can only beat what's in front of you. And We look convincing. We're very convincing.
Well, that's it, isn't it? You know, it's always that big saying, you can only beat what's in front of you. We say that about the world's best when they score 3, 4, 5 goals in a game. You know, Blackpool, weren't great. They weren't brilliant. But I thought we were. JJ, I'll bring you in, because obviously we were there on Tuesday night. Was it that Blackpool weren't brilliant or we were just that good? Because we just didn't let them have any sort of peace. We were always on them. There was always a bit of pressing and we just looked, I suppose, a couple of yards quicker.
Yeah, Blackpool were poor. And I know they had selection problems before the game. But Daly's just said it exactly bang on, you know, just beat the 11 players who were up against you, you know, and that's what we've done. And we've done it well. We've done it positive. Some good performances. A great win. Zach Steffen was able to take a rest against the goalposts, as we all saw. It was a great performance, and it set us up well for Norwich.
It did. I mean, Craig, I imagine you were probably there on Tuesday, obviously reporting for the Gazette. Were you in that middle part where all the journalists were, or were you other side? Because I say I know Maddo and the team were all commentating there, but I don't know if all the journalists were there as well.
Usually, to be honest, I had to miss Blackpool on Tuesday night. I didn't get to go. And typically, I missed last season's trip as well because I got COVID. So I missed it last Christmas, that brilliant night then. And I had to miss it in midweek as well. But that's normally where the journalists would be, right in the middle. It's such a unique press box because you've got basically, particularly when Borough go, you've got away fans either side of you, you pretty much bang in the middle of them, and it's always a pretty unique atmosphere at Bloomfield Road. But yeah, sadly I couldn't make it last week.
I was going to ask your opinion on it. I suppose you must have put some sort of write up to it together, obviously based on what you watched. And you say it was a pretty commanding victory, and probably a nice one to write about because it was quite nice and simple.
Yeah, so I think what was particularly good watching it back after and then, you know, as you say, reflecting on it is, you know, it was quite emphatic. And what I loved about it is, you know, how many times have we seen Borough where, you know, they have a good first half, they were 1-0 up, but they didn't quite kill the game off. And then, you know, when they were talking to Michael Carrick after, and he hit his quotes after, he was talking about the fact that at half-time he actually had a little bit of a niggle with them and, you know, made sure that the, you know, second half they didn't get complacent. And, you know, he said that he was a little bit disappointed, and I think it was maybe the last 5 or 10 minutes of the first half, and, you know, just a few little minor tweaks that he had to make at half time to ensure there wasn't any complacency, and ultimately setting Borough up to come out in the second half and get the win, you know, in an emphatic nature, which the performance did deserve. But, you know, I think of that, I look at that and I think, how many times might that not have happened, and might Borough have been punished in the second half and not killing it off when they were so dominant in the first? So that for me was the pleasing aspect of reflecting on the Blackpool game.
Yeah, I think that was probably my most pleasing part as well, the fact that we came out in the second half and it wasn't a case of let's feed our way back into the game, let's get ourselves into it. It was, let's get our second goal as quick as possible. I know the penalty was a bit of a contentious one. It was right in front of us on the left-hand side of the away ends, as we were. But it just seems to set the tone for the second half for me. And I thought after that, we were dominant. We didn't really let Blackpool have much chance-wise. And it was just, it was just dominant. And it was our best performance of the season. It was really enjoyable. I know a few of you were there as well, but that's pretty much it for Blackpool. There's nothing else much to be said. It was a 3-0 win. It was a big win, and it set us on the path towards Saturday, which I'm really very much looking forward to talking about here. I'm not going to lie, but I've got a hand waving at me. Go on then, Coates.
I'll just say we've won 2 years in a row at Blackpool without Craig being there. If we're still in the same division next year, he's not allowed to go.
Yeah, do you know what? Last time I was at Blackpool as well was for the League Cup defeat, so under Warnock. So yeah, so I think John's on to some of that.
Yeah, you're banned. Right, there we go. Right, but let's talk Saturday. Right, I'm very much looking forward to getting stuck into this. Right, JD, it was a very, very early rise Saturday morning. We set off before the sun even came up. I don't know about you. I mean, we all mentioned this on the way down. I couldn't Gally and I couldn't Jacob on the because they were with us as well. Something felt a bit different, didn't it, on Saturday? It felt like something was going to happen, like something was a bit had changed. Or was that just me?
No, I do agree with you. There was maybe an air of expectancy rather than hopefulness, which is what we've had at other away trips this year. But yeah, there was a level of expectancy. I think we've all seen a positive approach, a new positive approach that the team are presenting at matches. Obviously, you know, since Carrick was in his first game, we should have drawn. We were unlucky to lose at Preston. But since then, he's had wins and he's had that game against Bristol City, which should have been a win. So really, he's turned the club's fortunes around. So I think we all went down there Saturday. We knew it was going to be tough because Norwich is still a very good team. You could see that the way their passing and movement in the first half was very, very good, very neat, a tidy, tight team. But yeah, travelling down there, yeah, I think everybody was fairly relaxed about it. You know, on a bit of an up from the Blackpool result and a little bit. I won't say confident, but you know, we weren't going to get a thump, and we're going to give them a good game, which it turned out to be a cracking game.
Exactly. I mean, you were saying, obviously, you're saying there is, you know, there was a bit of confidence about us, and you're absolutely right. There was, you know, I think most of us expect us not to lose on Saturday, but Dally, I'll come to you because obviously we spoke before we jumped on the bus with all the lads. We both agreed 1-1. We'd have took that even before we set it off and did the hours that we did. We said 1-1, that'll do. Take that and bring it back home.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll be honest with you, it wasn't until we got halfway down there, one of the lads was giving us our record down there. And I started doubting 1-1, I'll be honest. And we were going back, you know, when was the last time we scored here? And we haven't really got the best results here, and it's a long trip to make. And then obviously you're thinking, oh God, you need to go into the break with a win, really, because it's a long time, especially with this World Cup, to mull a defeat. So it wasn't until about the, is it Blythe Services we're at, the doubt started kicking in. But yeah, that was all soon gone when we got there, and you're watching the team play, and you know, some of the performances were absolutely, you know, outstanding. Hackney, what a revelation he is. You know, Akpom in a number 10, the best player on the pitch. Like, I've grieved the lad. I'll be honest, I grieved him last year, and I take every word of it back. Unbelievable turnaround. I've never seen it in a player at the Borough.
Well, yeah, I said, because I remember when you went on loan to Greece, me, you and JT were sat in the studio and we were just like, well, you know, he's gone. You know, we won't see him again. And that was that. And we didn't think he'd be as pivotal as he is. And but you're absolutely right. I mean, Yusuf, I'll come to you. Obviously, you were bang at the front, as you usually are, that away end. You've got front row seats to what we witnessed on Saturday. But, you know, that journey up to Norwich you made from London, you must have been feeling a bit optimistic, like we all were making the journey down as well. There was something a bit different about Saturday. There was no fear. The fear had gone.
Yeah, not at all. We've been playing so well, I think, since obviously Carrick's come in. Like, the performances have been really, really enjoyable. It's been a real, real good momentum. But we just needed that, like, back-to-back wins. That was the only thing that I was a little bit concerned about. So we've been playing well, but all this season we haven't really won back to back. We've had a win, but then the following game we haven't quite backed it up with another win. But it was always going to be a tough game because obviously Norwich just got relegated from the Premier League. They've got, you know, they've still got, you know, Timu Pukki and Josh Sargent and players like that. And then if they've got people like Todd Cantwell on the bench as well, you just think, you just look at the entire team and squad, really. It's they've got some of the best players in the Championship. So it's always going to be a tough game. But I had a feeling that we could get something from the game. And yeah, it was a really, really good, you know, feeling at the end when we got that last minute winner.
Well, that's it. Yeah, I mean, we'll do plenty of talking about that last minute winner. Trust me, that's coming. I'm not far to talking about that. Some of the stuff I saw. Oh my god. You had to be there. You really did. But Steve, I'll come to you. Evening. I was good to have you on. Teams came out obviously 2 o'clock. As usual, unchanged again. We're still at one change between the lot at the moment. It was it's becoming the norm now, isn't it? Really, to borrow lineups, you know, it's like you don't really have to look. We know what's coming.
Yes, it's very pleasing for me. We seem to be getting a little bit of stability now. I think it's the fourth time in a row the same team's been named. We're starting to put more complete performances together all season. It's been a good first half and a poor second half, or vice versa. I think over the last three or four games under Michael Carrick, we've been putting together more complete displays. And noticeably, in the last few games, we seem to be getting better and stronger as the game is progressing now. It started against Hull, where we come back well in the second half and won against Hull. Then we rolled into the Bristol City game, went a goal down. Second half, battered them, couldn't quite get the win. I got the 1-1. And then Blackpool, like Craig was saying, first half should have been put the game to bed, but it wasn't. It was still 1-0. But second half, come out strong again and beat them 3. And then Norwich, you know, I thought first half we'd done okay. We're in the game, we looked a threat, but Norwich had the better chances. But second half, whatever Carrick said at half time, you know, obviously worked. They come out the traps. They were brave. They were on the front foot. They caused problems for Norwich, you know, all second half. Crosses in the box from Giles. Jones was a threat again. Hackney's, you've said that, were absolutely outstanding in midfield. Best player on the pitch. He's getting better by the game. With strike force, looks a threat now. Force and Akpom got a bit of a relationship going. And it's just, there's so many positives at the moment. And that Norwich performance second half just epitomised everything that's good about at the moment. You know, it was a real, real great team performance. And I was just so jealous that I wasn't there like some of you. I watched the game and I was one of them away games where you're watching thinking, my God, I wish I was there. The atmosphere looks superb. And to get the last minute winner, you know, what a feeling that is to be in the away end when you get a last minute winner like we did with Matt Crooks. And I mean, you know, you must have been taking the roof off when that went in. So, a lot of positives. Really, really good.
Taking the roof off, we need to up the flooring. But, yeah, we'll definitely talk about that winner. That's coming. Jacob, I'll come to you when I'm talking about the first goal, because I want you to talk completely about the first goal, because there's something you said before that goal, which made me giggle. And it was Riley McGree related, and he knows exactly what I'm talking about. So, it's... Puts, I'll come to you. Obviously, you saw the team 2 o'clock. You know, were you, you know, like the rest of us, unchanged yet again? You know, go with what you know and keep the rhythm going?
I say all the time, mate, if the players are putting in a performance, you keep the same 11. Don't change it. It's not broke. Don't try and fix it. And what I'll say on Saturday is that second half against a really, really good Championship team, we weren't lucky to take the 3 points. We absolutely battered them second half. Battered them. It was superb to watch. And I mentioned it last week about the two centre halves are starting to build up a relationship. We do look solid at the back now.
Yeah, we look solid everywhere. Be quite honest. There's a bit of something going around. You know, there's a lot of partnerships forming. They say the partnership, I suppose, even on the left hand side with Green Jones having that understanding. Hackney and Housen in the middle, they've got an understanding now. One will do the legs, one will do the movement and the passing. You know, there's partnerships everywhere. But Craig, I'll come to you. Obviously, they scored really early on, as they usually do against us at Carrow Road. It's quite a normal thing. But I took a look around the Borough players. It didn't seem that there was a lot of panic, which was quite encouraging, because when we've gone 1-0 down to teams in the past this season, there's been a bit of a meeting in the pitch, you know, who did what, who didn't do what. But Saturday, it just seemed like it was, right, that's happened, calm, start again, let's move on and we'll get past this.
Yeah, what I would say is, I think, you know, it was a strange first half because Borough actually started quite well, didn't they? They had a good look 5 minutes then. I remember writing in our live blog, like, they started really well here. They got good intent. They're passing it well. They're zipping it about at good tempo. And then all of a sudden, Norwich had that chance where Pookie went through on goal, didn't he? And Stefan had to make a save.
Yeah.
And you know, not more than a minute later, Josh Harden, Sargent, gets through and he scores his goal. And what I would say is, I think for probably until about the 25th minute, it was probably a bit uncomfortable for Borough after the goal. There was a couple more chances. And I think, you know, credit to Zach Stefan. When we're talking about players who deserve credit, I think this week Michael Carrick revealed after the game that he actually found out he wasn't going to the World Cup 4 hours before the Blackpool game, kept that to himself, played that Blackpool game, kept a clean sheet, obviously goes down to Norwich. And, you know, as we've said, it was a really thrilling game in terms of, you know, watching it from a neutral point of view, because it was quite end-to-end at times, and it was two good teams who, you know, played good stuff and created chances. And, you know, Borough were by no means outclassed, but I think they did have, you know, a little uncomfortable period there for about 25 minutes. But what was pleasing to see, as you say, is that, you know, they didn't bottle it. And, you know, how many times under Chris Wilder did we see them where they conceded early like that, and then they quickly conceded a second and quickly conceded a third? You were going in at half-time 3-0 down, and the game was already gone. They didn't do that. They stuck to it. They got in the game. And I think there was a key moment. I can't remember who it was now, but somebody went down around about the 25th, not long after the 25th minute, injured, needed treatment, and that allowed Borough to regroup. They all went over the touchline. They got instructions from Michael Carrick, and he mentioned after the game, we asked him about it, and he kind of said he was basically talking about Dale Fry's positioning was the big thing that he was talking about, and where he needed to be in terms of receiving the ball, because Norwich were doing a lot of pressing at that point. And that was one thing I was noting, is that it just felt at that point, you know, in that opening kind of half an hour of the game, Norwich just felt sometimes like they had an extra man on the pitch. They were just, every time Borough tried to do something, they were swarmed by Norwich. And so that little tweak from Carrick there, just talking about, you know, getting Dale Fry's positioning right so that he could receive the ball and he could play the ball out, etc. It completely changed the game for Borough, and they made another little tweak apparently at half time. And as we say, I think they ended the first half as the better team, and then, you know, thoroughly deserved to get back in the game in the second half.
Yeah.
Craig, I was just going to say, I totally agree with your sort of like assessment there. I was really impressed by Norwich, I'll be honest with you, for the first 30, 35 minutes. The way they moved the ball quickly and accurately, and their movement was very, very impressive. And I thought we were in for a tough afternoon, especially as they were 1-0 up. But yeah, we never dropped our heads, as did the Borough fans. You know, we at 1-0 down, we were still making, or it seemed like we were still making more noise than the home fans. And to go in only 1-0 down at half time, we still had belief that we could get back into this game. And we came out second half, and we were the better team.
Well, that's right. I mean, We were the better team for me. I mean, the only time I heard Norwich sing is when they were giving Yusuf chip, to be quite honest. Yeah, we went into that second half. Obviously, for me, it was key to get into half-time 1-0 down as well. I thought, if we're getting half-time 1-0 down, we can regroup again and have a right good goal in the second half. But I'm going to bring Jacob in here because Jacob's going to tell you exactly what he said about Ryan McGree. And he's going to tell us exactly what Ryan McGree did when that ball got flicked on from Marcus Foss. So I'll bring the young man in. This could be funny then. Go on.
Right. I think I said something along the lines of, I don't know what he's offering. He needs to be took off. He's been pretty rubbish. About a minute later, he turned around and scored the best goal I think I've saw since Ashley Fletcher at West Brom.
Yeah.
So
it was just beautiful timing because you kept turning around to me and saying, "We need to change him. He needs to change that position. It's not working. He's not offering anything." And then all of a sudden, he channels his inner Paolo Di Canio, and it's an almighty volley from 25 yards out. I mean, JD, that away end went absolutely off it when that went in, because that was so unexpected.
Oh, yeah, it did. I mean, it was really funny. I mean, Norwich fans celebrated their goal by a polite ripple of applause, the odd shout of bravo, and the odd firm handshake between their fans. That's how passionate they were. When his goal went in, it was bedlam. You know, because we had been pressing a bit, but that goal was out of the blue. It was a worldy finish. It was fantastic, and like you say, we went crazy, and it was fantastic. You know, and at that point, it looked like we might have gone on to win the game, but it spurred Norwich on. Norwich came back at us a little bit. They had a few chances. Stefan made a couple of saves. Aarons and who did we have? Hernandez, who used to play for us. Yeah. Hernandez come on and flashed shots that must have just went wide because the keeper was at full stretch. So they were trying to go for the win, and then we know what happened right at the end. But we'll talk about that in a minute.
Yes, we will talk about that in a minute because that deserves its own little pretty segment, this bit. But Steve, you know, obviously you watched it at home, as you said. You know, what did the goal look like live on the telly? Because I've watched the replay about. I mean, I've talked a good couple of hundred times. I've watched it now. I'm not going to lie, and I still can't believe he did it. But what did it look like watching it live? Like, you know, I don't know who was commentating on it. What were the commentators saying on it?
When I was watching it with, I had the BBC T's commentary, so it was perfect for me. It was perfect for me when it was one of those goals. I was on my own. When the goal went in, I was up and I was dancing around the living room, EIOing around the living room on my own. I was absolutely going off it on my own, to be honest. It was a fantastic moment. You don't get goals like that very often that happen. You mentioned, I think it was Jacob mentioned Ashley Fletcher's goal. That was a similar type of thing. Mind Jacob, I've never seen George Saville score a goal like that. And I think it was last week you were saying that Riley McGree should be dropped and he's worse than George Saville. So, you
know. I still think that. It's only one goal. Still think that.
But anyway, it was a fantastic bit of skill. Just the way he was able to switch his body shape and get the little scissors kick in. It was a magnificent goal that would, you know, would grace any game at any level. Brilliant.
It was.
And I was pleased for him because the two players since I've been on this podcast who have sort of championed the cause was obviously Zach Steffen and Riley McGree, because I think they've both got undoubted class and they just needed time to settle in at Middlesbrough and find the way. And I think McGree, when he was put under Chris Wilder, being put behind the striker, it didn't suit him, and it made him look a bad player. And now that we've changed the formation and put McGree back into his natural position, I think he's starting to look a really, really good player. And there's a reason why he's going to the World Cup, because he's got class.
Yeah, Jacob. he's absolutely right. He's for me under Carrick, he has stepped up a lot. His work rate is really stepped up. His involvement in players as well. Obviously, I know he set up the goal against Bristol City. He was fundamental to a couple of goals against Blackpool. And obviously, his inner Paolo Di Canio came out on Saturday. I've delayed it long enough. I'm not waiting any longer. Right, Yusuf, you were right at the front of that away end. How did you not get trampled on? Because it seemed like that whole away end went from top to bottom. It was some unbelievable movement. I mean, I didn't even know the ball had gone in for a couple of seconds, to be quite honest. I'll fully put my hands up to that. But what was your, what did you do when that goal went in?
Just went absolutely mental, just like everyone else did. Like, literally, everyone, it's what football's about. Do you know what I mean? The stranger hugging, literally everyone was just going absolutely bonkers. They didn't know what to do. It was just an unbelievable, unbelievable feeling. Do you know what I mean? The only thing I was just gutted about was that we attacked that end second half. I wish we attacked that end in the, I wish they attacked our end in that half. So then the celebrations would have been a lot more, a bit like the Blackpool celebrations that we saw last season when Watmore got the last minute winner, I think. But that's the only small little kind of thing that I think was missing. But apart from that, it was just honestly unbelievable, unbelievable feeling. And I thought all the fans deserved it, with all the singing that they were doing all game. And Norwich fans were absolutely poor, to be honest, but we were just fantastic all game. And we got what we deserved.
I mean, all they mentioned was Wembley, let's face it. That's all they kept singing about, Wembley. You know, stick Wembley up your arse now, because, you know, that's gone now for me. We've dealt with that now. But, JJ, you went from in front of me to near where Colonel Sanders was stood, near the where the concourse was. It went absolutely... I mean, I went far behind it, to be quite honest, when Tom jumped on me, but... It was absolute bedlam where we were.
Yeah, I ended up about four rows further down. Upside down, cracked me back on some seats with people on top of me. But you know what? You don't feel it, do you? It's just pure adrenaline, and it was amazing. People were pulling strangers off other strangers, you know, just to get people back on the feet. It was absolutely brilliant. That goal, a bit of filthy, filthy work by Akpom, and then Fed Jones got it back, and then Crooks. Brilliant. I want to relive it again. I want to be upside down again. It was absolutely superb.
I didn't even know Crooks was on. I didn't even see him come on.
Wasn't it great to see Crooks back in the box, getting on the end of things as well? We've missed that from Matt Crooks. He's been playing too deep, and it was great to see him that late in the game doing what he used to do so much last season, getting on the end of something in the box. That's what we need to see more of Matt Crooks. I know he's carrying a hernia and stuff, but that's what he's good at, getting on the end of things. He's so dangerous in them positions. And it was I was chuffed for Matt Crooks, because I know he's been playing with an injury.
I think, you know, the limbs in the knot, the limbs in our end were brilliant. Sorry, John.
I was just going to say, there was Dally doing his best cameo impression there. I didn't know Jeff didn't see it.
I tell you what, though. See, we were doing limbs in the away end. Akpom's limbs in front of the Norwich fans is brilliant as well.
Yeah, fantastic. The little dance, yeah, that was superb, yeah.
It was. I honestly thought I was going to have another week of, you know, we brought Crooks on, but I'm not sure why. And then you popped up and did that. I mean, Craig, obviously, you'd have looked at that away end. What did that away end look like? Because I've not seen a video of it yet, or I've not seen anything of it. What did that away end look like?
It looked every bit as bonkers as you guys are describing it. I mean, I'm not sure if he's familiar with, Carroll Road's layout, and the press box is pretty much directly opposite. So we sit and look at it, and, you know, at that point, to give a bit of insight into, you know, what it's like for me on a match day, I'm live blogging. I'm trying to update the live blog. I'm trying to tweet the goal out on the Gazette Borough Twitter account and my own Twitter account, while also quickly, frantically trying to update things like my match report, which was about ready to go, presuming it was going to be a draw, and that had to be completely rewritten because now Borough had won it. But all the while, over the top of my laptop screen, all I can see is this away end just going absolutely wild. And, you know, it's moments like that, don't get me wrong, like, I never take for granted how lucky I am to be in the job that I am. But I think, you know, in a job like this, you've got to be a football fan. We all love football to do the job that we do. And you have moments like that where, you know, last minute goal, Borough have won, that away end is going off like that. You just want to chuck the laptop down and go and join in and get in on it, because it just looked absolutely amazing. And yeah, I think a few of you have said it, that Borough, you know, you all deserve that because you were brilliant all game.
Yeah, we were. Yeah, it was, like JJ said, there was a fair few of us upside down on Saturday. It was you see them pictures, don't you, online of you know, these away ends that Leeds have. You know, people all over the shop, and they're like, you know, no one does it like us. But I'm not being funny. If someone had a camera in that middle of that away end, I don't think they'd have been any worse than what Leeds have ever done. Because yeah, there was a steward stood there near us. I don't know where he ended up. He disappeared somewhere.
He left about a minute before we scored. I hugged him when it was 1-1 because I told him, I said, this is coming. And I hugged him when it was 1-1. I said, if we get a second, I'm going to kiss you. Now, I don't know whether that was a reason why he went down the stairs, but they all did. They all did about a minute to the end, went on and stood in front of the front row on the pitch side. But it's a good job him or any other steward wasn't there, because, like you say, everybody just surged forward. And I was surprised that there was nobody injured. But like I say, when you're that pumped up and your body's full of adrenaline, you just don't feel it, do you?
Well, yeah. I mean, I woke up yesterday morning and I looked at my legs and they're covered in bruises and scratches and all sorts of bumps and that. And I thought, where did I get them from? I didn't really do much on it. And then I remember, oh, yeah, oh, I know exactly where I got them from. But it's every bit worth it. Oh, unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. But Cuts, I know you know, what was it like following, you know, imagine you were doing backflips at home. And I'll stop talking.
There's a hole in the roof. I went through the ceiling when that winner went in. A few years have mentioned it. That play by Akpom was absolute pawn. Superb. It's like somewhat off FIFA. It was great, great play. I mean, to be fair, that second goal, in different ways, was just as good as McGree's strike. It was good build-up. We'd seen a lot of it under Wilder, where we knocked the ball about and scored good goals. But under Carrick, the way we're playing is completely different. The two midfielders now, instead of sideways and backwards, it's always forward thinking. Hackney's getting better every single game and thoroughly deserves his place in that team as well. Like I said before, it was a well-deserved result, and all the lads that went down there, we deserve it for some of the dross we've watched this season. We don't sugarcoat now on here. If it's poor, we'll say it's poor, but can't fault any of them last few games under Carrick, not one of them.
No, we were saying that on the way back, you know, we watched some absolute shite at Coventry, at QBR. That made up for every minute of it, but There's two words I never thought I'd hear on this podcast this week: FIFA and porn. So yeah,
I'm here every week.
The thing is, I mean, when you look at it, if we'd have got the deserved result if we'd have got the deserved win against Bristol, we'd have been 2 points off the playoffs. You know, and that's ridiculous considering how low we felt as fans. After Coventry, like you mentioned, Steve, or you know, when Wilder left, yeah, the very quick and sort of just the way we're feeling now in such a short space of time since Carrick's been installed is brilliant. We know that it's been a good start, and it's going to be difficult to maintain that because we've still got a thin squad. But it's far better going into the break in this type of mood than it would have been if we were still down amongst the dead men.
Well, that's it. I say the contrast of what he's done in the last 4 weeks has been nothing short of absolutely miraculous. It's turned a team with no confidence into one of the best in the league, which is what on paper we are, to be quite honest. I believe we are. And yeah, it's been a whirlwind few weeks to follow us, and worth every penny, worth every hour you work to put towards it. And yeah, it's been absolutely, it's been amazing to watch. I've loved every single minute of it.
One player who deserves some credit, who will have gone a bit under the radar for me, I think he's been excellent since Carrick came in, is Smith. I thought he was excellent again on Saturday. He's like an old school professional. We've all said before about Dykstill won't take the yellow card. That's not, I suppose it is a bit of a criticism, and we all like Dykstill, but Smith's been, he's been excellent in the games under Carrick for me.
No, you're absolutely right for me. I said I wanted him at the start of the season. He had a really good pre-season with the Wilder. You know, he started the season well, came in as a really good backup, and he stepped into a position that, you know, we didn't expect him to be in. And he's been the proper professional that he is. And he gave 75 minutes of pure hard work on Saturday. It's hard against their wingers because, you know, they've still got Premier League players. You know, you look at Josh Sargent, you look at Max Ahrens, you look at even, you know, Hernandez played in the Premier League. Cantwell, you know, he played in the Premier League as well. You know, they've still got a Premier League squad at the core, and we dealt with it. We dealt with every single one of it. It was, it was one of those where you just think, I just want to relive that. I'll relive that 20, 30 times, that winning goal. I really will. Unbelievable feeling when that went in. Unbelievable. But, right, we'll come on, man of the matches now. Because this actually might be quite a tricky one, because I think I've got about four in my head. So, Steve, I'll start with you. Who was your man of the match on Saturday?
Well, what I would like to say first, it was a great team performance. Mm-hmm. You've just mentioned Tommy Smith there, who's come in and been fantastic. And you mentioned earlier on about partnerships starting to develop as well with Lenihan and Dale Fry and Akpom and Force up front, the midfield, Hackney and Housen. So it was a real team performance all across the park, but I have to give it to Hayden Hackney on Saturday. I thought he ran the midfield, certainly second half, against good players in the Norwich team as well. You know, he's not playing against an average championship team. He's playing against one of the best sides in the league. And he ran the midfield. He drove the team forward. He's forward thinking. He's got energy. He can pick a pass. And he does the hard yards as well. And it was a real complete performance by him, a real mature performance from a lad that's just come in the side. He's only 20 years of age. And he's just got better and better. And when he first started off, I said, the jury's still out. He's a young lad. Let's not get carried away. But I've got to say, I'm starting to get carried away because he's looking a real prospect. And I hope he can keep it going. So I'd have to give it to Hayden Hackney. I would give a special mention to my man Zach Steffen again, because as Craig was saying, he had some bad news with the World Cup, and he showed fantastic character to play against Blackpool, clean sheet, and then I thought he made some real big saves for on Saturday, which got over the line in the 3 points. But he had packed me for me.
Perfect, Yusuf. Apart from you being one of our men of the match, giving it to them. Lads in the corner, he didn't have to have some stick again. Who was your man of the match on Saturday?
Got to agree with Steve, 100% Hayden Hackney. I thought he was by far the best player on the pitch. His energy that he gave the team, just the forward thinking, what he offers is, you know, we were struggling a bit when Tav left in terms of the energy in that midfield, but I think since Hayden Hackney's come in, he's given us a bit more energy, because I thought it was a little bit slow with when we had Crooks and Maurer and McGree and Housen kind of playing there at the start of the season. But since Hackney's come in, I think he's just given us the energy, that drive. And I thought Saturday was his best performance in a Boris shirt by a mile. And I just loved his celebration when McGree got the first goal, when he shushed the Norwich fans. I thought that was proper shithousing. But no, he showed real, real quality throughout the entire game. But yeah, loved him.
Yeah, you can take the lad out of Redcar, but you can't take Redcar out of the lad. Yeah, he's still one of us. I love that as well. It's brilliant when watching that back. Jacob, go on then, tell me Ryan McGree was man of the match.
No, Hackney, definitely. Followed by Stefan, definitely. You know, I'm a keeper myself. And even in the second half, the first 15 minutes, he made a couple of good saves. And he definitely, if it wasn't for him, Hernandez could have had a hat-trick. He, you know, he kept us in it. And then once we made it 1-1, we looked confident. And I thought we'd go on to win the game. So, yeah, Hackney followed by Stefan.
Perfect. Good, so good for you. Yeah, man of the match.
Well, he's a little bit of a surprise for you. I'm going to disagree with you as well. Ooh. Ryan Giles, for me, was unplayable on Saturday. He was a constant threat down the left. They didn't know how to handle him. And he was at the bulk of a lot of our attacks. So I'm going to give it to Giles. He's had a bit of a rocky few weeks. But I thought he was back to his best on Saturday, so I'm giving it him.
There you go. Dally, how come to you?
Oh, I'll take myself off mute. I think I'll stick with pretty much what the lads have said, Hackney. I think sometimes the answer's in the squad, in the youth sometimes. And, you know, we've been touted spending money with big players, and we've brought in Akpom and we've brought in Hackney, and the answers have been there right under our own noses. And he absolutely shone on Saturday. People have talked about the replacement for Tav, and I think he's making that position his own.
So you're right. JD,
how come you? Another vote for Hayden Hackney. I love his enthusiasm. I love the fact that he gets the ball, he can move it on quickly and accurately. When he gets the ball, he's instantly looking up to see what options are available to him. He's looking forward. He's forward thinking all the time. He's not prepared. He's not, sorry, frightened to drive forward with the ball at his feet, and his initial 5 yards takes him away from the nearest man. It just creates him a little bit of extra space to find that pass. He's a very, very good prospect, and he's doing well at the moment. So he gets my vote.
Yeah, and I'll come to you, Craig. Obviously, I know you did a bit of a write up for the Gazette. Obviously, with your match write up. There's lots of players in there that featured that were, you know, impressed you a lot in the press box. But who was your man of the match?
Yeah, I went Stefan. I agree with most of the lads that Hackney had probably his most complete performance yet. And I think, you know, at a ground like Carrow Road against those calibre of players, I think to be as bold and brave as he was in possession as well, he always wanted the ball. And when he got the ball, he always wanted to, you know, do something positive with it. I think some of the range of passing that he displayed on Saturday was really, really impressive. But I just think, you know, we've spoken about, you know, the scenes in the away end and how that felt when that last minute goal went in. And I think, you know, without some of the very important saves that Stefan made throughout the game, you know, none of that would have been possible. And as Steve alluded to, you know, to do that in the circumstances and the week that he's had, you know, kind of for me just made him stand out as the top performer.
Yeah. I'm going to go completely different to all of you. I thought Chubba was my man of the match. I thought Akpom was absolutely unbelievable. I thought he was unplayable at times. Every time he targeted Gibson, he really did expose Gibson's flaws on Saturday, big time, down the left-hand side. Gibson at times was lucky he had Handley next to him, because Handley mopped up a lot of chances that we put into the box. Without him, they'd have been stuck on Saturday. And plus that bit of skill for the goal, the winner. Jesus wept. If someone in the Premier League had done that bit of skill, Sky Sports have been showing that for weeks. But, yeah, it's... It was definitely Chubba Akpom for me. But I'll completely agree with you and say Hackney's been absolutely fantastic since he came in, and he had a really good game again on Saturday. So, but before I come back to you, Craig, and talk to you about obviously the impacts that Carrick's had, you know, these last 4 weeks, it's been an absolute whirlwind. Yusuf, I want to come back to you quickly because something popped up on social media yesterday. What was it like playing Uno with Matthew Hoppy?
The funny thing is, yeah, it was his idea. He literally he suggested it. He had a Uno in his bag, and he was like, "Do you guys want to play Uno?" I was like, "Yeah, sure, no problem." But I've never played Uno before, so I didn't know the rules. So he explained it, and literally, like within 2 minutes, he won. So obviously he cheated because, like, you explain the rules, and you know what I mean. He clearly cheated because he won after 2 minutes. Like, how's that even possible? But honestly, what a sound guy. Just it was honestly like talking to a normal, well, he's a normal person, but it just felt like you weren't talking to a Borough player kind of thing. He was just a normal guy. He took a picture as well of us and a few of the Borough fans, sent it to the Borough group chat, to the players. So it was just, honestly, it was a surreal experience, but it was just like really, really good. And the picture you're talking about, it was him explaining the rules. So obviously, I didn't know the picture was being taken at the time, but I was obviously like in deep, like listening to what he was saying, and he was explaining all the things. But yeah, it was a really, my new best mate now.
So the one thing, Yusuf, then, that we're all wanting to know, yeah, and hear, and everyone who listens to this, can we just have another sentence of that American accent again, please?
That was awful. He's definitely like, what's it called? Do you guys want to play Uno? Nah, I can't do it. That's a terrible accent. But he does say Borough, just like Stephen. He does say Borough, up the Borough.
Did he mention the words development player, Yusuf?
No, I mentioned that to him, and he had a little smile. I was like, "You're doing well for a development player, you know, considering, you know, with being an American international and playing in the La Liga and stuff, and the Bundesliga." So yeah, but I think he just had a little smile on his face. But you know, he accepted it. He said when he was signed for the club, he was told he wasn't going to be first choice, but nothing was said about being a development player. He just thought, yeah, maybe he might be on the bench to start off with. He didn't expect to be at the under-23s, but he did, and he just worked his socks off. And do you know what I mean? He's done really, really well.
Listen, when Wilder was here, we didn't know for sure what was going on. But now it looks like he was cutting off his nose to spite his face with Force and Hoppy, didn't it? He was trying to prove a point, and ultimately that's possibly cost him his job.
Possibly, yeah, possibly. Because I think every time we kind of mentioned Wilder to him, obviously he just had a little smile to his face, a little smirk to his face. Nothing, obviously, he's got to be professional. But you can see he kind of got sold a different kind of dream. But I don't think his when he signed for the club, he was talking much with Wilder. My understanding was he was talking to other people within the club. But he was told that he was literally going to be, you know, not first choice, but maybe on the bench, come off the bench every now and then, but not to not even be named on the bench. I think it was quite surprising to even be playing for the under 21s was even a bigger surprise. But I think, yeah, you can just see he did feel something wasn't going on right behind the scenes.
I'd agree with that. Funny enough, I actually looked at him when the winner went in. Not obviously when it went in, because I was doing all sorts of shapes. I didn't think it was possible. But when I watched the highlights back yesterday, he didn't really know what to do. It's like he was, what do I do now? He just, like, I suppose, ran with everybody else. And I think he just got caught in the morning, bless him. But we had to mention your picture with Mr. Hoppy. It was, yeah, one of the most surprising pictures I saw this weekend. I never expected to see you playing Uno on the train with Hoppy back to London. But no, it was good that you got a catch him. You got to see the real guy behind. Obviously, you know, we've never spoke to him. I don't think he's ever spoke up in public, to be honest, since he's been at Borough. So no, it was really good. He caught up with us as well. So yeah, bravo. And you'll have to teach us how to play Uno one day, I suppose, as well. not as bad as the point you played, then. He beat you in 2 minutes, but yeah. But Craig, I'll come to you. Michael Carrick, he's been here, well, 4.5 weeks. I know, obviously, we spoke before the manager was announced. You know, there was a few names that were chucked about. You know, he could join. Obviously, Carrick came in. He's brought Woodgate back with him. You know, what kind of impression is he left with? I suppose with yourselves reporting on the Borough. You know, how much of progress have you seen within the 4.5 weeks he's been in charge of the Borough?
I think there's definitely been a lot of progress, hasn't there? And I think, you know, ultimately from, I think back to somebody mentioned the Coventry game earlier, and obviously Chris Wilder's last game in charge, and, you know, that to Borough now, and Borough, how they played at Blackpool, and, you know, the confidence that's going through those players at the moment. And that ultimately has all come from Michael Carrick. And, you know, somebody mentioned there, Chris Wilder cutting his nose off despite his face. And I think there was a lot of that this season. There was a lot of kind of, you know, he got himself into a bit of a sulk because he didn't get the transfer dealings that he wanted, and he wasn't allowed to build the squad in the way that he wanted to build the squad, and that started to rub off in the way that he was, you know, his demeanour around the club, which ultimately rubbed off on the players, and I think that was evident by the end of his time. You know, the players lost the confidence, and some of that you know, kind of fast flowing football that was mentioned last season under Wilder, where they did score some really good team goals. They just never looked capable of doing that under Wilder this season. I think, you know, he just zapped that energy from them with his own demeanour. Whereas, you know, Michael Carrick now in the time he's been here, that's slowly been rebuilt. And I remember when he first came in, I kind of looked back at, I know it was only 3 games, but he had that little 3-game spell in interim charge at Man United. And I was looking at, you know, what he did then and what we might have learned about him in those 3 games. And one of the things that was noted about him in that time was that he had a kind of soft arm around the shoulder approach, and he liked to big people up. He liked to give them belief. And, you know, two players in particular in those 3 games who were coming in for criticism, weren't standing out. They did in those 3 games for Man United. There was Jadon Sancho, who obviously made a big move from Dortmund and was struggling at the time, hadn't scored, and then scored in 2 of the 3 games that Carrick was in charge. And he really bigged Sancho up to give him that confidence to do that. And then there was Fred as well, who, you know, at times in midfield has been much maligned at Man United. But Carrick, I think Carrick described him as something like one of the most underrated players in the Premier League at the time. And Fred, particularly, I remember the 1-1 draw they got at Stamford Bridge against Chelsea. Fred was magnificent in that game. And you know, again, that was another example of where Carrick seems to have this this demeanour. A lot of the Borough players so far have talked about his calmness. And he just seems to have this kind of composure and belief about himself that he then transpires onto the players and gives that to them. And I think you're seeing that with the way Borough are playing at the minute. They're just, you know, for example, we've spoken about the skill of Akpom for the goal, or McGree taking the shot on. I know he spoke to Tees after, and he said, you know, taking that scissor kick on, if you're not in confidence, if you haven't got belief, you don't take that on. And he probably might not have took that on a few weeks back, but Carrick's just instilled this belief within them. And from nowhere, really, this team looked a unit again. They're playing that, you know, fast-flowing kind of, you know, intent and tempoed football again. And it's been really good to see.
Yeah, it's like he gets the fans as well. Like, you know, he understands, I suppose, when you have them a few games in charge of United, and, you know, the vast numbers that United do take away from home, as they do, you know, he'll understand, you know, that fans are as much important to a club as the players are. And he had to get back, because we felt, I know the lads will agree with me on this one, we felt so disconnected with what the club were doing when Wilder was in charge, that it's coming towards the end. We don't now. We all feel as one again. Like, obviously, they were all stood in front of us at the end of the game at Norwich on Saturday, and, you know, there was that big togetherness. You know, there was barely anybody had left the away end as well. And I suppose we were serenading him, and Carrick was just taking his stride, just, you know, give us a bit of a fist bump. He was just like, yeah, you know, this is just the start kind of thing. But have you noticed that as well, you know, the togetherness between the fans and the players has come back together again? Because that, as I say, it was drifting apart so much when Wilder was about to leave the club.
Yeah, 100%. You can feel that connection again, can't you, and that belief. And I think, you know, ultimately, I think results and performances on the pitch, you know, lend themselves to that. I think, you know, when results are not going well, naturally, you know, there is that bit of a disconnect. Whereas, you know, when fans can see a team trying to play in the manner that Borough are trying to play in at the moment under Carrick, I think they're always going to react to that. And ultimately, you know, Borough will, as we see, you know, back the team from the start of a game, home or away. They travel in magnificent numbers everywhere they go. They will always want to get behind the team. But ultimately, the onus should always be on the players on the pitch, you know, to create that atmosphere and to give the fans the lift to continue getting behind them throughout the game. And I think ultimately at the minute, you know, that's what we're seeing. We're seeing a team that is you know, giving the performances that the fans deserve.
No, you're absolutely right. It's been, you know, it has been such a roller coaster even the time he's been in charge. I mean, JD, I'll come to you. You mentioned earlier, you know, the feeling we all had after Coventry, you know, it was pretty much, you know, one of the lowest feelings you're going to have as a Borough fan. You know, the threat of, I know it was only the end of the season, but the threat of possibly dropping into the third tier looked really real because the confidence was so low. We were playing so poorly. There was nothing, we couldn't string two passes together. And we've gone from that to the performance we had on Saturday. You know, we looked so complete and so joined together and, I suppose, in sync. And, you know, to go from one extreme to the other so quickly, it's been, you know, it's been a rollercoaster of emotions just to go through and watch that as we have, you know, following it up and down the country every week.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you mentioned Coventry and other performances. We almost looked frightened, you know, it's as if nobody was willing to take any risks whatsoever, you know, and sometimes you've got to take risks, you've got to try stuff, you know, to unlock defences. But we just seemed so low in confidence that nobody was prepared to do that. And results were very, very poor. And I know it might have only been 9 or 10 games into the season, but the standard of performance, it was worrying, to be honest. I mean, we all knew that individually we had a good squad, that with the players that we were that we had at the club. But, you know, better teams have gone down than us, and at the time there was talk amongst, like, fans around. It was a case of, you know, where are we going to go from here? What are we going to do? But, you know, we've obviously changed manager. He's made a great start. And the confidence at the club is back up now and amongst the fans. And it's only when the team and the fans pull together that you know, you get the right outcome. So long may it continue. I want to see us come back in December against Luton at home and get another 3 points. Go towards the opening of the January transfer window, and I hope that the club have got some good signings for us to come in and bolster the squad. Because, like I said earlier, I think it's still a fairly thin squad. Get 3 or 4 players injured or suspended, and you know, you start to worry again then. But yeah, confidence is back up with the fans, with the team, and let's all pull in the same direction.
Absolutely right. Go on, coach.
Without risking, like, sounding like we're getting a bit carried away, question for Craig. How hard is it not use the headline? He knows exactly what we need, knowing full well that we're going to need it after a sunny day at Wembley in a playoff final.
That's it. You can't roll it out too early, can you? You've got to keep it in the bag for the main event. But no, it is great. You know, I mean, you singing that song before he even came in, weren't there? And it was well known he was coming by then. And yeah, it's just, it is great when you get that, you know, scenes at Preston, you know, all through the Preston game, even at full time, you know, that late sort of punch and, you know, late goal, still giving the players and Carrick the respect and appreciation for that. And then, you know, getting the reward at Hull with the win and again at Blackpool and then Norwich. I mean, three away wins in a row. Bloody hell, we couldn't get an away win for love nor money, could we, a couple of months ago. So it's just great to see it all coming together.
When was the last time Middlesbrough won three away games in a row?
I think somebody had posted this. Was it under Warnock in 2020? Was it maybe just as the battling relegation? Was it just or was it just after that?
Yeah, no, it was just after he took over from Woodgate, because we couldn't win at home. We still couldn't win at home at all. But we won, seemed to win every game away from home. Went to places like Stoke and Sheffield Wednesday and we won convincingly. Just can't remember who the middle game was that we won.
Yeah, it was Reading.
Yeah, Reading. Yeah, it was. So yeah, they were the three games that kept it. Because Patrick Roberts scored that night to effectively, I suppose, keep us up, because we had a free hit at Sheffield Wednesday to bolster up the table. But yeah, that was the last time we won three away games in a row. But it shows how rare it is. You know, we've all had to put our heads together there to you know, think about that. And we usually, when you look at teams building up the table and putting points on the board and putting results together, it's usually the home form that does it. But we seem to have hit something on the road. I know we've been backed brilliantly by fans, you know, in every away game that Carrick's had. But, you know, We just look a different team. It's mad that, you know, over a month ago we were practically rock bottom. We were only not bottom because Huddersfield and Coventry still had games in hand. You know what I mean? It's just mental to think about.
It's such a rollercoaster season. Sorry, Steve. Go on.
I was just going to say another little ingredient that Carrick's added since he came in as well is Lady Luck. Because I thought we were probably the most unluckiest team in the league all season. Couldn't buy a decision. Got lots of poor decisions against it. And I look when we went to Blackpool and we got the penalty with Marcus Force. I look on Saturday against Norwich. Last minute, Hernandez just passed the post last minute. And also during the game, I don't know what you lads thought, but I thought that was a penalty, Marcus Force on Sargent. When he caught him in the box, I think that's a penalty all day long. And we're suddenly now getting away with the odd thing. We're getting a couple of decisions, and all good sides tend to get decisions and a little bit of luck. So I think, you know, that's been missing all season, and whether it's just the Carrick magic dust sprinkling on nicely, but we're getting a little bit of fortune now, which is good.
Yeah,
definitely. And Craig, you touched on earlier, obviously, about like the feel-good factor that Carrick's brought in. You look at it, where are we now? The 14th of November. If you think this season already started in August, you start the season full of hope. We've got Chris Wilder, unbelievable last season. We're gonna fly. Doesn't quite happen. Then he gets linked with Bournemouth. Doesn't quash it. He goes, obviously after Coventry. Then you're looking at the table. You start to get really concerned after that Coventry game, thinking we're in big bother here. Then you look at the names who were linked, and he might be a good coach, maybe a good manager. You were getting linked with Lee Catamol, and you're thinking, oh, no, such a bad feeling about it. Even Carrick, to be honest with you, didn't really get me going, to be fair, when I saw his name. But, you know, I'm really glad it's turned around, and in the space of 3 or 4 weeks, we're all flying into the World Cup. We're absolutely buzzing. What a roller coaster of 3 months.
I know. I mean, Catamol scared me, but Gary O'Neill absolutely frightened me. If we had took Charlie, I swear to God, that'd be me done. I'd been gone. There was no way.
Well, Carrick was always a massive gamble, you know. Rookie manager. It could have went the wrong way, but thankfully, you know, it's
Has he just died on us?
Yeah.
think we've lost John.
He's disappeared. We'll get him back because he's probably talking to himself now, bless him. One thing I want to ask you, boys, I'll start with you, David, because I'm looking at you. Second half of the season, obviously, you know, we've still got half the season to go, unbelievably. I know we've got a four-week break. I'll start with you, David. What are you expecting from the second half of the season? Where do you expect us to, I suppose, ultimately finish? Because, you know, like you said, we had so much expectation going into it, then it took a dive off Saltburn Pier. And it's now climbed itself back up again, and you know we're all a bit optimistic again. You know, what are you expecting from the second half of the season?
You know, I've just touched on the roller coaster of the last few months, and I don't know what to expect. Is probably my best answer I can give you. You know, I hope. I'd love a little playoff run. I'd love us to get into it and stick in it. I think the top two, I think they'll take some catching, but I think the playoffs would be fantastic. But honestly, I think if we can finish top half, given the start we've had, I think it's a solid season.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, I'll give my opinion a bit, but Yusuf, I'll come to you. You know, you're obviously the optimistic one out of all of us. What are you expecting from this second half of the season?
I mean, this division is all about winning games, because I think Blackburn, who are, was it second or third? I think they've lost as many games as us, or in fact, more games than us now, because they lost against Burnley. I think they've lost one more game than us this season, yet they're third. But the reason why they are is because they've haven't drawn a game. They've won so many games. So I think it's all about winning games and pushing up that table and whatnot. It's going to be... The thing is there's going to be one or two teams that make the playoffs that are going to be so poor. And we're going to look at the end of the season and think, especially if we don't make the playoffs, we're going to think, how did we not finish above then? But it's all about getting a good run of form going. I think we've got a good momentum going with Carrick. We get a few signings in January. I see no reason why we can't get in the top six. I really don't. I really think we can get into the top six.
See, optimistic, love it. Diego, I'll come to you.
Yeah, I don't doubt we can. I think we can definitely get in the playoffs with a run, but I just want to see Borough have an identity for the second half of the season. I think for months we went from overlapping centre backs last season to ponderous passing around the back of Wilder for the first couple of months, and I just want to see us keep playing how we've been playing. And if we get a couple of unlucky results, I can take it as long as we're seeing good stuff. But, you know, like Daddy said, 12, maybe 10, something like that. But as long as the football keeps coming, I'll be very happy with that for this season.
What a very mature answer. That's probably more mature than Nathan Wigg come up with. don't shake your head. Coach, I'll come to you.
How poor have we been the first half of the season? Really, really, really bad. And we're 4 points off the playoffs. 4 points. For me, what I expect is us to make the playoffs and win the playoffs. There's nothing in this division. There's only Sheffield United, the best team in the division for me. They're the only team that I've watched this season that I've thought that they're like far and away better than everyone else. And we could have won that game as well. There's nothing for us to fear. I think we go on a run, get a couple of players in. Let's be optimistic. Get in the playoffs and win them at Wembley. We all deserve that, don't we?
We do. Anything for a Wembley win. Anything. I'd love that. I really would. Steve?
I think we've got a top six squad, in my opinion, at the start of the season. But I fear maybe we've done a little bit too much damage to the season already with the 9 defeats. I would say for Carrick's first season, if he can get one to the top 10, from where we were when he took over, I think that would be really good progress, especially if we keep playing the attacking football that we're doing and get some good results at home. The fans will be more than happy with that. But there's always one team that comes from nowhere, like Nottingham Forest did last season. So I do obviously cling to the hope that might be us this season, because I think it's the poorest division for a number of years, the Championship. There's no real outstanding sides in it. Sheffield United are a decent side, as you said, John, and Burnley are having a good season, but there's nobody really that I would fear Middlesbrough playing and thinking that we couldn't beat them. So while I do think the playoffs is an opportunity. My realistic head says a top 10 would be a good season.
Yeah. I think, just build on what we've got. I think that'd probably be the most sound thing to go over with that. Craig, I imagine you probably do some sort of write up in the next 4 weeks, you know, what should we look for in the second half of the season, you know, what fans might be thinking, you all in the press box have had your conversation, you know, what can we look forward to in the second half of the season? What are you expecting from this Borough team going forward?
Yeah, I think there's elements in everyone's answer there that I think it is absolutely spot on. I think it is really kind of uncertain at this stage. I know earlier when you kind of put out on social media, like encouraging questions or thoughts ahead of the pod, and I think somebody had asked or mentioned, you know, is this just a kind of new manager bounce, or can they sustain this? And I think ultimately, you know, that's the big question now, isn't it? Is this just a new manager bounce? Is this just the players getting a bit of belief back? But then, you know, where do they go from there? Or can they sustain it and can they go on? I think, as a few have mentioned, you know, at the start of the season, we all looked at that squad and thought that was a top six capable squad. There's some good players there. But particularly now, because it was a squad recruited for a 3-5-2 formation, there are areas that are lacking depth, and so January comes into it as a key period. I'm looking at the wide areas and thinking they probably need a bit more out wide. You know, Jones can't be expected to do it all again like he was last season, because we saw what happened by the you know, the last couple of months of last season when it was all put on him. You know, we've talked about Hayden Hackney and how much of a revelation he's been. If he were to, you know, touch wood, it doesn't happen, but if he were to get an injury, does Borough's midfield suddenly go back to what it was with that lack of energy and, you know, missing Tav, as Yusuf mentioned earlier, which they really did until Hackney come in. So I think January could be a key month in terms of addressing things like that and making sure the balance is right. I think these next, you know, they've got a week off. They'll come back next week. These next 3 weeks after that will be, you know, really pivotal. Carrick will obviously have ideas. He'll have assessed things in these five games and picked up on little things that, you know, he'll want to improve upon, and he'll want to, you know, instill his own principles, as he's put it, upon the team. So, you know, how well they take to that, I think, will be key and where that goes going forward. But I think, as everyone said, there's absolutely nothing to fear in that championship. As, you know, John and Steve said, I would say probably Sheffield United and Burnley so far have looked like the kind of, you know, the two better teams compared to everyone else. But even, as John said, the first game of the season, Sheffield United, you know, was it? No, it wasn't first game, was it? Was it two or three? You know, they were by no means better than Borough. Borough were good that day and more than matched Sheffield United. So nothing to fear. And, you know, despite how grim that first couple of months of the season were leading up to Chris Wilder's departure, we're now just 4 points off the playoffs. So, you know, yeah, let's have a go at it. And I think it's there for the taking, mate.
No, you're absolutely right. There's so much optimism. It's so encouraging. It's nice. It's lovely to talk about. We've got him back from the dead. He's got his hat back on. JD, what's your expectations for the second half of the season?
I think obviously the next window will be big, will be massive for us, because I still do think that we've got a good start in 11. We've got a half decent bench, but beyond that, unless we can unearth another couple of gems like Hayden Hackney and Isaiah Jones from our academy, who are first team ready, we need more experience. Now, obviously, we've got players in the squad, the likes of Mort, vastly experienced, but he hasn't really sort of lived up to expectations that at least I expected. Luongo, he's probably hiding in a cupboard with Amiobi, or Amiobi's left and he's handed his locker to Luongo and he's hidden there somewhere. But we do need a bit more experience, because you know, we've put ourselves in the mix now. You know, we get a win against Luton, you know, close the gap to the playoff places. Yes, we've got big games after that. You know, we've got Blackburn, got Burnley, we've got Resurgent, Birmingham, but we've got Wigan at home as well, haven't we? But you know, if we can take advantage, if we can carry on our recent run of results, then we're going to need to use the squad, and we're going to need experience to you know bring the younger players through, which is what will be a very testing second half of the season. So January is a massive month, and I just hope that, you know, Kieran Scott and the rest of the recruitment team can come up with the goods, because we've put ourselves back in the mix, like I say. So I'm positive. I'm positive again for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good way to sum it all up and finish on. To be honest, the optimism between the lot of us is huge. You know, we've all, like Ali said a bit earlier, you know, we've all gone through that roller coaster, and no doubt we've got more turns than the corkscrew has got. You know what I mean? There's more to come. You know, we've got to get ready for that, but we feel ready for it. And the next 6 months is going to be a exciting ride to be part of. And yeah, I know we've got a few weeks to rest and recuperate and go again, but I already can't wait to get going again against Luton on the 10th of December. I really can't. But, you know, fingers crossed, England might do something in Qatar. Fingers crossed. You never know. Yeah, I think that's probably a good way to finish it on. I've got so many people to thank here. There's too many. JD, thank you for popping on, dying and coming back. Always good to talk to you, know that. Coach, always good to talk to you, mate. I say we'll catch up during the break. Steve, I'm going to promote you to our second favourite Geordie. Ignore Coach. Stop putting them fingers down. He's my second favourite Geordie. Thank you so much for popping on. Jacob, always a pleasure to talk football with you, even if you don't know what you're talking about with Riley McGree. Thank you for popping on. Dally, always good to chat, mate. Always good. Thank you very much for popping on. We'll catch up, no doubt, as the weeks go on. Yusuf, always good to talk to you, my man. Always good. We'll catch up very soon in a way end that you're probably leading and torturing someone in that omen. But we'll catch up very soon. And Craig, always good to talk to you. You know that. They say you said you weren't an expert. You are to us. It's always good to bring your expertise to the table and a bit of different insight. And I hope we provided some shots for you on Saturday that I'm paying for with all the bruises and the butt cuts I've got. So thank you very much for popping on and chatting to us. And thank you for listening. Thank you for getting involved for the first half of the season. It's been a lively one. We've been optimistic, we've been grumpy, we've been argumentative, we've been snappy, we've gone through it all, really. It's been like been a bit like a menstrual cycle, hasn't it, really? We've gone up and down, but I'm saying it. But you know, it's been that sort of thing, hasn't it? But we're all happy, we're all going. Yeah, we'll catch up again in a few weeks. Keep liking and subscribing, keep getting involved, and as always, I'll tell you, if you want to get involved, please do. You're more than welcome to come on. I can squeeze a couple more of you on. And yeah, we'll chat again in a couple of weeks. Thank you very much. Up the Borough. Enjoy the World Cup.
Coming on.
Cheers, the Borough.
Coming on.